Now, on the line, I have James Flanagan, and he is the Disability and Social Inclusion Access Officer with Bohemians FC here in Dublin. Good afternoon, or should I say good morning, James. How are you?
Good morning. How's things? How are you getting on? Thanks for having me.
Not too bad. We won't tell the listeners that we're actually recording this on Thursday evening and it's not live on Friday morning.
No problem.
James, tell us about the Bose Disability Supporters Association that you've just launched.
Yeah, I suppose what the club put myself in a role as a Disability and Social Inclusion Access Officer was to kind of promote and to have everybody's voices heard in ways that we could do better in inclusion throughout the ground and the club and overall. And what we did was we had forums throughout the Christmas break and into January where we had forums with fans with a disability, and we spoke to them in great length about different things that we could work on. And then from them forums, we decided to bring a Disability Supporters Association together. Now, this is a Disability Supporters Association. It's an independent supporters association, so it's separate from the club itself. So we helped set up, organise it. But when we launched the DSA itself, it was the club giving recognition to the DSA that they're an independent supporters group that the club can recognise. And it's an official avenue for people with fans with a disability to hear their voices heard through myself as the medium. They would go to me with any issues or any good things or bad things that would like to be done. And we then, as a club, can recognise their voices properly.
Now, Bohemians have, for the last number of years, have been very much laying a bedrock of community within the club. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there's been lots of campaigns and initiatives that have been done without the club and with the club. And it's really, really important, I think, can only speak on my behalf towards the disability side of things and the social inclusion side, but it creates a strong foundation between the club and the supporters, and that has something to relatable to. It's really important, I think.
Yeah, it is, and you know, it doesn't matter what sport you look at. If you look at GAA or rugby, and of course soccer, disabled supporters are very important, and that they're big supporters of clubs and teams.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I suppose we want to give equal representation for everyone. And I suppose it's something that might have been recognised beforehand that, you know, these initiatives are fantastic because they promote inclusion and what should be there. And we recognise that probably that it hasn't been there before for fans. And so it's important through initiatives and through launching the DSA and we have an audio-described commentary and sensory bags in the stadiums and things like that. That these things, you know, are you know, a good standard to be at, to have, I suppose, everyone's experience of a match day at Dalymount Park really enjoyable. And it's only right to do these things, you know?
Yeah, and tell me this. Is this one of the first disabled supporters associations in the country?
Yeah. So from what we gather, it's the very first one in Ireland. The DSAs are promoted throughout Europe. And I suppose in terms of accessibility in Europe, it's probably at a higher standard. And I think we can all admit that ourselves, that it's at a higher standard. So this is the first DSA in Ireland, we think. And we want to celebrate it as much as possible. And we hope, you know, other clubs and supporters can feel like they could do the same thing, because that's what you want, is for more and more clubs to be involved in inclusion and to promote accessibility for everyone, you know.
Indeed, and it's only fair and right that it should be. But tell us a bit more about Bohemians Club. Now, it's a local club to ourselves, as you might say. It's only down in Phibsborough. But maybe a lot of people wouldn't know too much about the history of Bohemians. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, well, I suppose we're celebrating its 131st year now since the club was formed. It was a big birthday last year with the 130th anniversary. And it's a local club in the Dublin 7 area. It's based in Phibsborough. And they play out of Dalymount Park. And look, yeah, it's always been a 100% members-owned club. from the start. So the members own this. The members have a vote once you become a member of the club. So there's no, I suppose, how do you call it, owners, is such a big owners with money or anything like that. It's always been members owned, members focused. And it's definitely a community led club that always focuses on having the involvement of everyone as much as possible.
I know some years ago when I was an apprentice, I knew a gentleman by the name of Ralph, Mr. Ralph, as I called him. And he was, I think he was the honorary president for a number of years of the club. But just what you were saying there about it being a members owned club. So we could call you the Barcelona of Dublin.
I don't know about that now. We'd like to be stick to ourselves. I like the lots of slogans we use, but Dublin's Originals would be one of them as well. But we are actually, we've had record number of memberships this year as well. So we've probably over 1,000 members now this year, which is a record since the very start of the club. And it's testament, I suppose, to the fans and to the community as well to get involved in times where, you know, fans might not be able to get to the ground, but yet they still came in their droves to become members of the club, which is a huge testament to everyone, you know.
It is indeed. And what I was going to say, why I was bringing up the likes of Barcelona, is that I think personally it's important that clubs like Barcelona, who are member-owned clubs, should be supporting other member-owned clubs around Europe. And not so much with cash and things like that, because that's a bit unrealistic, but with supports and know-how and how to do things.
Yeah. Look, it's definitely, you know, I suppose their model is the largest, you know, in terms of the money that they can bring in as well. But yeah, I agree, like in terms of being able to support other members' own clubs is really important. And I think it should be promoted as well a bit more, is that, you know, it's a good model. If done correctly, it's a very sustainable model. It might not bring immediate success or any of those things, but when it's members owned, it's sustainable, and you have your base in the community from the get-go, you know? So it's a really good model to have, and I think the club is really reaping the rewards now at the minute with it.
And it allows a club where a club has an owner and it's, shall we say, it's profit-based, it takes away a little bit from the ethos of being a community club. And I know I worked for a large company that is not far from the grounds, very close to the grounds, and was involved with a bit of the plans going forward, as you might say. Can you tell us a little about where that is at the moment, about the redevelopment of the stadium and so forth?
Yeah, so I think there was announced there just early in this year that the funding has been passed through, so the plans can start being made with the drawing and the architects and things like that at this stage. So look, that's another great step. The funding has been made available, and things are going to start really moving really, really quickly now, I think. And it's hugely exciting. It's going to be very emotional for everyone when, you know, we see the famous floodlights and things come down. But in terms of how fantastic a stadium it's going to be, it's going to be a massive, massive thing. So look, it's really, really exciting. It's all these fantastic things going on, you know. At the minute, you know, they've just announced the club has just announced the 18-year deal with DCU for our training ground, with state-of-the-art facilities with high performance. So the way things are moving now, it's just been synonymous. This year has been very, very good so far for the club, and it's really exciting, you know.
And I take it that the Disability Supporters Association will have some input into some of the plans for what they're going to need for their members to be able to get in, get out and be safe.
Absolutely. Yeah, look, that was one of the really good things that we wanted to get done kind of nice and early, was to get the DSA funds, so that when it does come to the times of working on the plans and stuff like that, that, you know, I'll be able to liaise with the club in terms of recommendations and stuff like that, and maybe advice. But what we want to do is, and the good thing about the DSA is that their ideas and their thoughts on different things that will positively impact them, it won't only just positively impact them, it'll positively impact many, many people for years and years to come, which is a huge, huge testament to both the DSA and to the club. And that, you know, we'll have a really, really good accessible football ground for everyone, you know, and that having their views and their issues heard in terms of making the ground more accessible than the new ground, it's really exciting, you know.
Indeed it is. And I wish you every success with that. And what I was going to say is that I know from my own work here in Near FM that I have come into contact with and talked to people with disabilities who are living with disabilities, and they are able to explain the issues that they're having. Just similar to the a very simple one is people parking their car on the footpath and the problems that arise from that. And someone like myself who's not who doesn't have the, you know, mobility disabilities probably doesn't understand that. Should I just walk around it? But, you know, somebody who's maybe visually impaired or somebody who's in a wheelchair, how difficult that is for them and how dangerous it can be. And that's why, you know, having their input into the development of the stadium is great. It's something great to hear.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, we're delighted with it, and we're delighted to be able to celebrate, I suppose, and to do it as well. But yeah, exactly, first-hand experience is what we really want. You know, we want to know how we can positively impact the supporters themselves' experiences, and we've already been able to do that through dialogue where they've given us kind of feedback on certain things, and we've been able to do that through our forums and through the medium now of the DSA. You'll be able to keep going like that, and it's just really exciting overall, you know. But we want to be able to recognise that, you know, we can have maybe the ideas ourselves, but unless they really change and impact the supporters themselves, then, you know, we really want to hear their voices and then try and affect it from their feedback, you know.
And have you had any feedback from other clubs about, you know, how to set up a supporters club like this, or any interest at all in it?
I suppose no, not at the minute, in terms of any other clubs contacting us. We would liaise with, or myself and the club would liaise with CAFE, which are the Centre for Accessibility in Football in Europe. So they would be kind of our go-to people, would be UEFA's body for inclusion and accessibility in football. So we would liaise an awful lot with them, and I would be recognised as the Disability Access Officer for Bose. So we would have worked with them. They would have been the ones promoting you know, the formation of DSAs, because it gives the fans with a disability a voice themselves, and it's independent and it's separate to the club as well, which I think is really, really important. Is that, you know, this isn't something that, you know, the guys are completely out on their own now in the DSA. We've recognised them, and they now have their own supportive association that you know doesn't become, it's transparent. You know what I mean? And it's not a, I suppose, feeling like they can't come with issues, because I think that's an important thing, is that in my role, you know, we wouldn't be doing our job correctly if fans couldn't come to me with problems, you know, because of course there's going to be problems the whole time. That's what my role is, there to listen to them, try and work them out and make them better. So having that now with the DSA can come to me and we have a good working relationship is really, really important. But in terms of other clubs, not at the minute, no. I'm always open to having any discussions, because I think it's really, really good to keep having, like, the more and more disability sports associations in Ireland would be absolutely fantastic, you know, which would be fantastic to be promoting inclusion and accessibility. And hopefully now, you know, since they've seen kind of, you know, the Bose won't be informed, then it might open up a conversation maybe between fans themselves or with the fans in the club or the club themselves, and that would be really, really good, because the more that we can promote inclusion, the better in the country, you know.
I think you will. I think that what will happen is that particularly once the new stadium is developed and so forth, and when other fans with disabilities come to Bose and see what's going on, and also the word of mouth going round of the new association, I think it'll start to filter out there, and you will see more of these associations being developed, the supporters associations being developed with other clubs. And I have to say, I commend Bohemians for being the first. I think it's great. I think it's in keeping with the ethos that I've known of Bose in the past. Yeah. And I wish you all the best.
Thank you very much. Cheers. Thanks a million.
And thank you, James, for taking the time to chat to us this morning.
Cheers. Thanks a million for having us. Thank you.
No problem. Take care, James. All the best.
Cheers.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.